Greetings and welcome to part two of our session five on the visionary feminine sovereign archetype. Here we're going to be diving into the human design, shadow, and disempowered aspects of this archetype. So here's the human design mandala. Beautiful, isn't it? Just as a reminder of the different aspects of it, all of the different gates around the outside that are associated with the I Ching, the hexagrams of the I Ching, and the signs of the signs of the zodiac. Okay, so the visionary is associated in particular with the gate 38, which is also known in traditional human design as the fighter, or knowing what's worth fighting for, or the Martin Luther King gate. In quantum human design, we call it the visionary. And the idea here is that in our world, there are so many different places we could focus our attention and our energy. There are so many different aspects of our world that need healing or development or need to, come into form if it's something that's brand new. And so we have to be able to know how to focus our attention and judiciously use our energy so that we can be effective and develop satisfaction for ourselves and our life, so we can truly be influential. And as a visionary, visionaries are all about being influential. They are all about creating an impact with what they do. They're all about leading the way into a new version of what's possible, and breaking out of the limitations of what has been in the past. And in order to be able to do that, you need to decide where you're going to put your energy. Now, this relates to the eight pillars of feminine sovereignty and pillar number five, which is to know your terrain, know what your topics are, know where your, what your contribution, where it's going to be, like what wheelhouse it's going to be in. And it doesn't mean that it has to be exactly the same throughout your whole life. In fact, for many people, it changes. Mine has, and yet there's also been a through line around the consciousness, development of consciousness, and also justice. And so that's why this one is to know what's worth fighting for, because you can't fight for everything. You can't put your energy into everything. If you try to, you'll just make yourself crazy. So don't do that. And then the gate 38 is part of the channel 3828, which in traditional human design is known as the channel of struggle. And Ra used to really focus on kind of the negative of a lot of the archetypes of human design. And so he saw this as a place of struggle. Karen, as she has been evolving the human design system, has suggested, rather than struggle, what if we see this as challenge and even opportunity and even adventure, particularly the gate 28. And when we're able to recognize that we're at choice as to whether or not we struggle against something, or whether or not we shift our perspective as visionaries do, actually as all the feminine sovereign archetypes do, but visionaries in particular, changing that lens so that we can turn that struggle into a challenge. And a challenge is something that we can find even enjoyment in meeting, right? Oh, it's a challenge. Okay, I'm going to go for this challenge. I'm going to meet this challenge. And to find inside of that the opportunity, because in any challenge, there's going to be opportunity. Struggle is kind of a mental state, if you will, and we have the ability to change our mental state into something else. If we can even take it as far as adventure, then that means that we can embrace our experience as being on the leading edge of the development of consciousness. And certainly that's what visionaries are all about. Visionaries are about being on the leading edge of whatever it is that they're engaged in. Through part one, we saw a whole series of women who were on the leading edge of whatever it was that they were engaged in, whether that was politically, in science, spirituality, the arts, whatever it might be. They were definitely pushing the envelope, as it were. And so that's what visionaries do, right? And they do that with, when we're in the awakened state, they do that with the highest intentions for humanity and for their people. And this is an energy that is part of the knowing circuit, which we'll come to in a minute. And so it's an individual circuitry. And in being individual, it is interested in being, it is different. It's going to be different. It's just, its nature is to be different. And its nature is to bring change. So we'll come back to that when we look at the knowing circuit. Okay. So this is the human design chart of Martin Luther King. And I thought it would be fun just to share this and to show some of his characteristics. So you can see he's got the 38-28 defined in his chart. And they're both on the body side or the unconscious side. And the moon is lighting up the 38, which is what drives you, okay? Whatever is in the 38 is what drives you. And where's the 28 is in Mercury, which is what you're here to teach about. Or what you're here to speak about. So isn't that perfect, right? He's here to talk about the struggle or the challenge or the opportunity. Certainly as the leader, one of the primary leaders of the civil rights movement, if not the preeminent leader, he was there to talk about that. He was there to talk about the honor that is possible when you choose to face the challenge and turn it into an opportunity. He also was driven by that energy to have a vision of what's possible. And I think his I Have a Dream speech is probably the most iconic example of the visionary that you can imagine. It's a speech that's known around the world and by every generation, because it was such a visionary and inspiring speech at the time. So you can see right here in his chart where that energy is from. He also, his sun is in the gate 61, which we have seen is in the, also in the knowing circuit. The 28-38 is in the knowing circuit, but so is the 61, which we talked about with the high priestess. Because the 61 is that place where we plug into higher consciousness, or one of the places. And so he definitely had that energy of someone who had knowing. He had a deep knowing in his being about what was possible and about the challenges they were going to face doing what they were doing. But he was committed. And that his son was right there. I love that. His son was there lighting up that energy and showing him what was possible. He also has a lot of tribal energy with the 50-27 and the 59 and the 37 and the 45. And we talked about the 45 last time as the king or queen gate. And he definitely had that kind of energy, not of being a king, honestly, he's Martin Luther King, but not of being like a power over, but of that regal, radiant, charismatic, benevolent, powerful energy, right? And let's see. And so, yeah, and he has Mars lighting up his 45. So that's the spiritual warrior energy, right? So that's totally makes sense for him also. And then he's got the 34-20, which is the fastest, most powerful channel in the chart. It's what makes him a manifesting generator or a time bender. It's super powerful. It makes him super articulate. He's one of the most articulate people I've ever had the pleasure of listening to. Makes him articulate. and makes him have that manifesting power, which is the ability to bring things into form at the right time and in response. And definitely the civil rights movement was a movement that was responding to segregation, you know, to the laws that were happening for African Americans and for white people too. I mean, it was affecting everyone, segregation. And so the whole movement is a response. And so he was able to use that responding power coming out of that 34 into the 20 to be able to have, to be able to express and articulate such an incredible vision that has stayed with us. Okay, let me just see. I guess the one thing I would just say about that tribal energy is that, you know, he was very dedicated to the betterment of his tribe, which for him were the people that he knew that were in Selma, Alabama, and those who were drawn to their cause. And so that was definitely a tribal energy that he had there. And he did eventually expand his vision and started coming out against the Vietnam War, which was actually when he was assassinated, which is kind of interesting. Okay, so the knowing circuit, just as a review, we looked at the knowing circuit with the High Priestess, but I wanted to bring it up here because this can definitely influence the visionary, just maybe in a different way. And of course, all of these are going to influence individuals differently, depending on, you know, their life experience and where they were brought up and what their preferences and tendencies are. So everyone is going to experience these things differently. And also remember that all of this energy is available to everyone. We just experience it differently depending on if it's colored in or not in our charts. So I wanted to emphasize this because it is individual circuitry. Individual circuitry is here to be different and to bring change. And it is here to be mutative, which is to create mutations, if you will. It's here to bring new ideas into form, whatever that might be. Whether that was Martin Luther King bringing the idea of civil rights into form through the movement that he led. That was a way of bringing those ideas into form. And there's many different ways of bringing ideas into form, but that's one of them. And I would say that we have been in a process really since then. So what is that? About 60 years now of testing that mutation of civil rights. And recently we've had a big test of that during the Trump administration, of a big test of civil rights. And we're still in it. And we will get to see how it plays out, because many of the things that were put into place as a part of the civil rights movement and also as part of the feminist movement have been getting dismantled and are challenged. So we will see as we move forward through time what of these mutations will last the test of time. I'm certainly behind the progressive movements of the 1960s and 70s and the world that they wanted to bring into being. And I imagine that if you're here as part of this course, you're on in that camp as well. But we'll see, because this is what happens with mutations, especially ones that are as radical as those were. I think that sometimes we haven't understood how incredibly radical they were for the norms of a lot of people. And so we're getting to work that out at this point. And something that visionaries do is they often bring in new ideas, create new forms, challenge the status quo, challenge the way things that have been. I mean, if you think of Marie Curie, who's like, who says a woman can't do physics, chemistry? Who says they can't do that, right? I mean, she just didn't even think about it. Or Amelia Earhart, right? Or, you know, Oprah Winfrey, who's like, who says I can't do this, right? So creating new possibilities, they're like the prow of a ship, right? That is just, and then over time, we get to see how does that actually get integrated into and influence the rest of the culture. The gate 64 is the beginning of the sensing circuit. So now we're moving into a different type of circuitry. This is collective circuitry rather than individual circuitry. And the 64 as the beginning of the sensing circuit, in traditional human design, it's known as the gate of confusion. And I think that it was known as that because this is a place where ideas or visions can come in and they're kind of abstract. And it's not entirely clear initially what they are or how to apply them, because they have to do with, they're more experiential and it's not logical. So this is not related to the logic circuit. It's not logical. It's not rational. It's not reasonable. It's not linear. Okay. This is the right brain. And so many times this is very, like I said, visual or imagery. If you think about some of the paintings that we saw in part one, right, or the artistry, very right brained. So I think that's where that comes from. In quantum human design, we call it divine transference, and I think that what that means is it's about the bringing in of the transferring of whether we want to call them concepts, feelings, sensations, senses of knowing, sounds, smells, even, you know, all kinds of different aspects that can come in that are kind of abstract, but then as they come down and move through the circuit, they get to be known and they get to be understood. But it's a fundamentally different way of knowing than either certainly the logic circuit, but even the knowing circuit as well, because it has a tactile sensing and it's an inspiration. I mean, although the 61 is also inspiration, the 61 I think is more verbal and this one is really not verbal, but it is also a connection with super consciousness. So this is a gate associated with the visionary. So the sensing circuit, like I said, is collective circuitry. And this energy is based in experiences and storytelling. So this energy is here to have experiences and tell stories that inspire the evolution of the collective. So we've got three different storytelling gates. Right here, the 56, the 33, and the 13. All the main storytelling gates are in the sensing circuit. And so collective circuitry is important and it's more related or differently related to the visionary in the sense that it is about the collective. You know, like the individual circuitry, right, is about that individual vision and that drive that visionary may have, but the sensing circuit has more to do with this. This is about all of us. This is how it relates to us globally. This is how it relates to us as a humanity. This is how there are, how we know ourselves as a bigger organism, right? As individual expressions of that one interbeing, right? Or that one big being, that one big organism, that one, the all that is God, Right. And so the sensing circuit helps us to experience that. And in quantum human design, we call it the miracle circuit. And the idea of that is that miracles happen all the time. We don't necessarily call them miracles anymore because they become normal to us. But if you took somebody from 100 years ago or even 50 years ago and showed them a bunch of the things that are normal to us now, they would call them miracles. So there's that. But it's also that if you think about what's possible coming in through that right brain, the left side of the body, and the sensing and experiential and the embodied. So this is like part of the embodied experience. When I was talking about continuum movement and about getting into the body, experiencing oneself from inside the body, feeling the fluids of the body, the movement, the processes of the body. There are so many different aspects of that, right? That's all here in the sensing circuit. And just to remind you, I only have the 33 defined of the whole sensing circuit. I don't have the sensing circuit defined in my chart, but I have a deep understanding of many of these energies and of the sensing circuit as a whole because of my studies largely of dance and movement and continuum movement in particular. So I want to just remind you that all of this is available to you. And it's important for visionary because visions are not... they're not logical, they're not reasonable, they're not rational, they're not linear, right? You might take someone like, a scientist who then puts it into something that's more logical or linear, right? But if you think about Einstein, who definitely had his logical side, but was much more of a mystic, really, and received information and ideas as much as he did, then he worked them out mathematically. Okay, so sensing circuit, knowing circuit, all important to the visionary in terms of human design. So let's take a look at the shadow aspects here of visionary. So in her shadow state, visionary becomes arrogant, using her powers of sight and imagination to manipulate others into accepting her point of view. She disempowers others by asserting that she is the one who can see clearly, who knows the truth under the veils of illusion, and who can foretell the future. She asserts we must depend on her vision rather than cultivate our own. Right? So you can see this is a power grab, right? This is her assertion of hierarchy. And that she is diminishing others in order to embellish herself. So watch out for her inside yourself. When you grow impatient with other people's process and want to move things along more quickly by asserting your power. So remember that in human design, everything is about timing. Everything is about timing. And so you want to make sure that you are tuning into right timing. And if you're moving into a place where you're wanting to assert the rightness of your vision in relation to others, and you're wanting to even kind of unconsciously disempower others, then you're disconnected from source, right? And whenever we're in a shadow state, we're not connected to the flow of life. We're feeling isolated. We're feeling separate. We're feeling like we're on our own. And that feeds fear. And fear feeds the desire for power and control. So that's what's going on here underneath this. All right. And so you got to watch out for that for yourself because it can be subtle and it can be something that seems really reasonable in the moment. Okay. The shadow visionary is so persuasive, she can convince herself that her taking charge is in everyone's best interests. Unfortunately, demanding allegiance and controlling others is not her true role, which is envisioning and inspiring with new ways of thinking, imagining, and being. Okay, so notice if you start wanting to demand allegiance and controlling others. And again, this can feel like codependence. And it can be subtle because a lot of these things are pretty acceptable in our culture. And so if you're in that place of not just making yourself an expert, but dictating to others out of your vision, just know that you're straying off of the true role of the visionary. Yes, and we have some examples of that happening today in our culture, and we will have to see how that works itself out. So the disempowered state for visionary comes when she allows despair and pessimism to take over. Because her superpowers lie in creativity and imagination, she can direct those powers into visions of Armageddon or apocalypse. This perspective often arises from projecting into the future the natural consequences of our technological age, the accompanying breakdown of ecosystems, and climate change. We see this devastating view played out in movies, literature, and popular culture. So this is something that has been evident and troubled me for a long time, that we are putting so much incredible creative power into developing visions of worlds that we do not want to live in, outcomes that we do not want to experience. There has also been a outgrowth of hero stories that come out of these, and you can see these like in the Marvel movies in particular, that have just this whole array of superheroes who are here to save the earth and so on, right? And so there's opportunities for heroes to come out of apocalypse or Armageddon. And is that really where we want to be putting our creative energy? You know, ask yourself that. If you find yourself being really captivated by those types of visions. Lean into the awakened visionary when you feel discouraged and need a boost to get back on track. Call up your optimism and enthusiasm. Focus on your part, Feminine Sovereign Pillar 5, and what you feel is worth fighting for, Gate 38. Remember that as you envision the future you desire, the quantum field is already creating your vision as energy. Your job then is to just trust in divine timing. It's not about making it happen. And one of the challenges of the Gate 64, which we were just talking about at the beginning of the sensing circuit, is that you can reject your visions because you don't know how to bring them into being. And so we tend to just discard them. And that's really not necessary, because over time, the quantum field will reveal that to us. And as generators and manifesting generators, we wait to respond to see what comes up. And as projectors, we are being invited as the timing is right. Reflectors are going to be feeling it in the movement of the moon. And even manifestors are going to be tapping into when is the right time for this, because they also know that if they just move forward with their visions and the timing isn't right, it's not going to come to fruition. Do not burden yourself with trying to figure out how your vision will come into being. Take inspired action only when your human design inner authority signals that now is the right time, or when you have a strong impulse to do so. So just take a moment and think about how many visions there are of societal collapse. And even the two hopeful books that I mentioned to you, The Fifth Sacred Thing by Starhawk and The Gaia Codex, go through this type of apocalyptic vision into something else. Or the ecocide that we're seeing as the expansion of deserts are happening in many parts of the world. Or if you start to give in to despair about what can happen. So just notice, because these images are so ubiquitous. These stories are so powerful and they are everywhere. And so as visionaries, we need to decide to focus our attention elsewhere. What if we began to imagine that the world was being reforested? And I'm not talking about tree farms. I'm actually talking about forests being seeded and then being left alone so that they can grow again. What creatures would be growing and thriving in these places in the natural world if they was left to be? And what can you begin to imagine as you step outside of apocalypse and Armageddon into a grand view of what's possible? Because visionary brings the intelligence of the individual circuitry into the service of the collective, has both. We will explore this more in our meditation together. So recommended pillars to support you in these situations is always co-creator with the flow of life. The emotional intelligence to know if you are pushing yourself into that shadow state or dropping into the disempowered state. Embodied, really learning to drop into the intelligence of the body and to explore the vitality that is available to you there and the experience of oneness and the connection through interbeing that you can feel through that portal of the body. To know your terrain so that you know what your part is and your contribution so that you can be effective and influential. And to work with others, with a great energy of benevolence and a concern for all. So your turn. Go ahead and make some notes in your journal now about how these two lessons have inspired you, how you feel, any insights that you've had. And you can take a look at what you have defined in your human design chart related to the circuits that we talked about today. And then go ahead and listen to the meditation when you're ready and write about your experiences in your journal in response to the prompts and check out the art project and let your imagination and your visionary capacity open.